Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective serving over 800 student-athletes in 31 sports. I'm Jim Galante. He is Mike Villagrana. Mike, before we get started, just to let folks know, our good friends at GoPSURV, a longtime sponsor of our show and 15-year provider of RV tailgating in Happy Valley, they are now Blue White RV. Same great team that fans have come to know, but with more lodging and tailgating options than ever. As always, you just show up and let the experienced staff provide everything needed for a relaxed, hassle-free RV tailgating experience, including tailgating games, fire pits, food, and a pavilion showing all the college football games all weekend long. We were GoPSURV. We are now Blue White RV. You can check them out at bluewhiterv.com or call 800-519-8467. There's one last home game, and if you want to stay this weekend, give Mark a call again at 800-519-8467. And if you do stay there this weekend, make sure you say hello to me. I'm going to be staying there this weekend also. I'm Jim Galante, along with Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of Happy Valley United. Mike, how we doing this week? A little bit better?
Oh, yeah. I mean, winning solves everything, doesn't it? Everybody feels a little bit better after you come off a win, right? Especially this one with Terry getting the first win and everything that's been built up. And, you know, see the kids be able to come back with the Grantland Trophy is pretty cool.
You know what? I think a lot of folks, when they call this a lost season, you know, you come into it having dreams of national championships and Big Ten championship and things like that. And when that goes away fairly quickly, I think some fans just want to throw in the towel. That is it for the season. And they forget just how much fun winning a college football game is.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny how college football seasons go now. Like, everybody, it goes so quick, the build-up, the spring ball, the summers, and leading into the, you know, the media days. And then next thing you know, it's like the season's almost over, right? And you reflect back to what we've been through. We've been through so much this year, right? These kids, the fans, the staff, everybody. And, you know, any kind of victory and you know, positivity like this, it goes a long way, especially in the locker room, moving forward to the next two games. It goes a really long way. And, you know, you want some kind of momentum, you know, so if we can rip off these next two wins, get a bowl game, get some more practices for the younger guys and go into the season or go into the off season, that's a great way to go in the off season. So there can't be any give up in these guys, and they're not. And it was really good to see that win, especially after they get down real quick, 7-0, and you know I can only imagine being on social media at that point. But everybody probably thought we were going to get killed or whatever. So doom and gloom, people. But they fought back. They stayed the course, and obviously we're going to talk about it. But it seemed like on all three sides of the ball, or all three, looked really good yesterday.
You know what, Mike? You didn't have to go look at social media. I did take a look at the message boards and the like. You know, after a 3-and-out and you give up a long touchdown play and the, you know, a first play from scrimmage, it was ugly. The game was ugly, but it was uglier online, seeing the responses. But, you know, my takeaway from this, and I mentioned this last week in playing Indiana, a really good team and playing them right to the end, that it felt like old school football, the way college football used to be before there were the playoffs. You know, the national championship was a mythical national championship that someone voted on, all right? And you enjoyed more games week to week, just the game itself. And a week ago against Indiana, being at the game, the atmosphere was really very good. The team gave the fans something to cheer about. They gave an entertaining game. And again, a week ago, I said there are no moral victories. However, they played well. It seemed like a switch was hit beginning last week. It didn't produce a win against Indiana. And we just saw more of that. Felt like a much better attitude by the team these last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's positive, right, to see that the guys didn't lay down and such a crazy season for Penn Staters. Like it's a great thing to see that the guys are still playing hard. And kudos again to Terry and the staff and everybody, you know, holding the thing together. And at the end of the day, the players got to show up. So kudos to the players, you know, showing up, having pride, having that Penn State pride. So I think everybody's pretty proud to see that performance yesterday.
Well, tell us a little bit more about Terry Smith. As long as he's been here, all indications are well-liked, well-respected by players, staff, other coaches, all of those things. But he was thrown into as tough a situation as anyone could. After a couple losses, it looked like the team's ready to pack it in. And they lost the first couple games with Terry there. Now to get a win like this, I think for him just to hold it together, this team, to get a good effort from them, that's quite a coaching performance.
Yeah, definitely, especially away game. And it's a funny different game too, just because of Michigan State and where they're at as a program. They're kind of in limbo, a lot of uncertainty there with that program right now. And hopefully, you know, that coach, you know, he's only been there, what, two years. Hopefully they can, you know, give him a little bit more time. But, you know, that's kind of – it's almost like a trap game in a way. We were favored in that game by – I forget what it was. But, you know, just the expectation of us coming in there to win the game. But, you know, every week to week, it's a different game. But, really good job by everybody.
It was Penn State was a 7.5-point favorite in this game, and shame on me for knowing that so quickly off the top of my head. But
well, it depends who you go through too, right? Like, that stuff is all over the place.
Yeah, it's amazing how consistent the different services are, and if there's too much of a gap, you get people betting either way, depending on, like, you know, what the spread is. If the gap is too large, the hope is to, and again, I'm kind of not proud that I know this so well, but it is sometimes an indicator of what's expected. Have you seen the spread yet for the Nebraska game?
No, let me guess. They are favored by 3.
Okay, you say Penn State favored by 3?
No, I'm guessing the Sharks out there are saying Nebraska by 3.
You're way off. They really? Have Penn State as a big favorite.
A big favorite?
Yeah.
Wow. That's good. That's all. Hey, it's funny. You know, talking to, like, even working in football, you know, you're kind of removed. You're removed from that world, but you're aware of it, right? Like, coaches use it as motivation sometimes. It's you know, I remember working with one coach in the past, and, you know, we're good friends, and we'll joke sometimes, and we were favored going into season opener, and, you know, we're kind of on the negativity side. Man, we stink. what does Vegas know? Like, we don't know. They have us favored. We just want to win the damn game.
and yeah, did you win the game?
Yeah, we did. We killed them. But that was it, it's funny sometimes. It's fun to have fun with that. And like I said, some coaches use it as motivation in the locker room.
I think it's kind of informative to see how the world perceives you. And I think that this win against Michigan State was the national reaction is, okay, finally we're seeing what Penn State could be. And again, you know, congratulations to Terry Smith for getting his first victory. What I thought was great was the reaction of the players when the game ended. That felt like authentic emotion there, Mike.
Yeah. You know, I just got a different vibe from the players, just from my personal opinion when I was around them this week. Just they I don't know. Everybody's trying to get back to some kind of normalcy in such a weird time, right, in that building that, you know, it takes some time to adjust. But it seems like they're just kind of moving forward now. You know, they're taking day by day. The ship is there now, and they just seem like normal. I don't know. I had a couple conversations with some guys this week, and it felt good. It felt like they were just normal. You know, it was a normal practice Wednesday or a normal Thursday. It was good to see. It felt different. And then I was talking to somebody. I didn't go to the game, but we had some coverage there. We had two HVU people there covering the game, which was pretty cool for an away game. It's the first time I was doing that. And then we had our other HVU staff member, Winnie Hoover, there. And I asked her what the vibes are pregame. She's like, oh, we're winning this freaking game. That vibes are awesome on the sideline pregame. So I was like, oh, that's awesome to hear. So that just made sense based off of the week that, you know, I personally experienced this past week around the players and the staff.
That's great to hear. From the outside looking in, it appears that everyone is just tired of losing. The fans are tired of being negative. The players and staff are tired of losing. It's just an awful feeling. And, you know, in the long term, does, you know, 4-6 versus 3-7 matter? No, not in the long term. But for today, it just feels good to win. And it was just great to, it feels like there's a rallying around Terry, which is great for him, but also great for the players too.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, I don't get how you can be negative. Like when you do go on social media and you see the same people that are negative usually a lot, like I don't get how you can do that in life. Like that has to just tear down on you. Like you're literally looking all your life for like just the negativities. And I can't, I don't know how you live with yourself with doing that. But, you know, I don't think even those guys could be negative towards like Terry and what the team did yesterday and how they're kind of rallying, right? Like, the doom and gloom people even, you know, have to like feel good about, you know, Terry when they're dumping the water on Terry after the game. You know, how happy, like, we make fun of that trophy, but how happy those players and Nick Dawkins were after the game.
Exactly. All right. We're going to talk more about the game as soon as we get back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. I'm Jim Galante. He is Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of HVU. It's quarter number two of our show. Mike, in quarter number one, we just talked in general. Essentially, I could wrap up quarter one very succinctly. Losing sucks and winning is good.
Yeah.
But let's get into it because it was an entertaining game. As you pointed out, it was a tough start, a 3-and-out, and then one play, Michigan State scores, it's 7-0. First of all, you know, kudos to the team for keeping it together after that rough start. But I want to start with Ethan Grunkmeyer. It seems like every week his poise, and it's no surprise, a young quarterback like that, that he's progressing as he goes. Even within this game, it felt like he did things better as the game progressed.
Yeah, I just thought there was a really good rhythm with the play calling, the offense. I was just telling you between quarters, I listened to Jack Ham and Steve Jones cast for the first time. It was awesome. I'm going to do it every single time that I'm not at the game. Just turn off, put on mute, put the team on mute and listen to those guys. They were awesome. But they were talking about it. And, again, kind of like what I said last week, when Gronk has time, like, you can see that it factor in him. You know, that he has it, I think. And I think a lot of people see that too. And Jack Ham said, yeah, when he with that big 75-yard bomb that he threw to Devontae Ross, you know, the first thing that Jack was saying was that line gave him that time. And I think he understands, and a lot of people see it, is like when that guy has time, just like any quarterback that has some special qualities to him, all right, that can do some pretty special things. And I think we're starting to see that with Gronk. But just all together, like, everybody seemed like they're you know, they were in a good rhythm. I think Colt Nicky, in his play calling, was really good yesterday. There was a good mixture of that pass and run game that everybody has been looking for this year. You know, it was great to see the run game, you know, basically set up the pass. And I think that's why, we've kind of stalled a little bit here and there in the past, because we haven't been able to get the run game going, right? And so then that puts us in, you know, that puts Kolnicki in a tough spot in those second and longs, third and longs, you know, instead of getting really good rhythms. But not yesterday. So both run backs played really well. I thought Gronk made really good decisions. I thought the offensive line had the best game of the year.
Well, you know, there's always this conversation. And in fact, it came up in the television broadcast that when the team finished by essentially running the ball the whole time in the second half, and it became, well, gee, shouldn't they have been doing this all year long, lean more on the running game? And my issue all along has been, if all you're going to do is run the ball, you're indicating that to the defense. Can you throw the ball in running situations? And I will point out, this is me patting myself on the back here, Mike, so get ready for that. That long pass play, it was on first down. It was play action, because I think you convince that defense that you are trying so hard to establish the run that it opens things up for the pass game.
Yeah, I mean, that's the recipe for a lot of schools, right? A lot of coaches, that's their philosophy. I'll throw it out there. 90% of teams, they want to win, you know, in the trenches and run the ball, and then set their passing game based off of play action run game.
Well, and then my feeling, and I'd like to get your take on this, was in the first half, I think a couple times Gronk was a little bit skittish in the pocket, maybe held the ball too long, could have thrown the ball away, ends up taking a sack. There was one, in fact, Terry pointed it out when he was interviewed at halftime, you know, on fourth down, and he took a sack. He probably could have gotten rid of the ball. It's fourth down anyway. You don't have to worry about the turnover. Now, in the second half, where I don't know if you realize this, there were only two passes in the second half. Now, a couple pass plays were called where Gronk scrambled successfully. But what I liked in that, when he did scramble in the second half, there seemed to be no hesitation on his part. When he was, I felt he was very decisive when it was time to escape the pocket.
Yeah, and that like we were talking last week, we were kind of hoping to see that, and more, maybe a little bit more design, and maybe a little bit more less hesitation, and just, like, you know, pull it down and rip it. And he, you know, he didn't do that last week, and that's what we were hoping for. And then he did that this week. So yeah, kudos to you. You must have coached him up, Jim.
Well, I do my best, and, you know, this is all part of my candidacy for the job, Mike. You know that.
But yeah, I know.
I think sometimes it's not so much a matter of what you do, but be decisive with it, especially at quarterback. And I saw that you brought up, and I paid attention to this even more because I've always thought this also, in the running game, Gronk scrambled for his running yards, but we're still waiting for him to become part of the read option, say, where instead of always giving it to the running back, that he might hold on to it. And again, I wonder about the lack of depth at quarterback. They can't afford to get him hurt. So I wondered how much the coaching staff is just saying, hand the ball off, Ethan.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think so. I don't think they're – if I had to guess, they're not worried about it. They're worried about winning, right, winning that game. So I don't think they're, like, trying to – they have, like, a pitch count or something, like, on Gronk. I mean, he's in there. What was that, his fourth game now?
I believe so.
Yeah, his fourth game as a starter. First two going against two of the four being the number one and number two team in the country. Like,
and then Iowa, pretty tough defense.
Yeah, like for a young guy that I think has it, I say it all the time. Couldn't be a better experience for him. And from a growth, from a feel, from a confidence standpoint. I think you're seeing him grow a lot every single game, especially from game three to game four yesterday.
Yes, and I thought we began to see that against Indiana. What we also started to see against Indiana was the confidence in him to throw the ball down the field. And, you know, this might sound contradictory on my part, Mike, but in that second half, I don't like seeing a coaching staff force things. Like, you go into the game saying, I need to throw the ball 20 times, or I need to, you know, throw it 25 times. If you're successful running the ball, keep running the ball, okay? And, in that drive that – what was it, like a nine-minute drive where they went the length of the field, get the touchdown, and the only actual pass was the touchdown, which was – more or less a running play, which, by the way, I thought was a tremendous call. I didn't, you know, get away from just running the ball right up the middle into a wall. And, you know, I'm rambling a little bit, but we also saw them run wide a lot more often in this game. And I think successfully so.
Yeah, because when they run it wide and they get on the perimeter, that stretches those gaps, right? Those holes, hopefully they get a little bit bigger. And then as patient as Katron's looked all year, to be honest, and now, you know, Nick coming on board and looking more like himself, that patience while those blocks are developing, you know, open up some big holes, and that's where they can create some, you know, they can basically have a two-way. They can create a cutback where they can go keep stretching it to the sideline. I just like it. I'll keep saying it. Cole Nicky just had a really good cold game. And I think it was well-rounded from every aspect. It was really good.
I do too, as someone who's been very critical of the play calling early in the season. But you mentioned also that this starts with the offensive line. And could you tell us a little bit what you saw different this week than in the previous weeks from the offensive line? We saw a little more of what we've expected from them all year.
Yeah, they just looked like they got a hat on a hat more so than they did in the past. They looked like they're all in rhythm. You know, when you look at the films, you know, you can find some things where you always have one or two guys, maybe just with an MA here and there, and it jams up the whole play. Yesterday seemed like all five were in sync most of the game. They played hard. That's the difference that I saw.
And you then saw it reached the point where it felt like Michigan State, they were exhausted at the end of that game. And when you saw the final drive, what did Katron, I think he had carries for 42 yards and 26 yards. It appeared Michigan State essentially just said, no more. I've had enough.
Yeah, and again, they're that's a team that is going through some difficult times. So you know, it's good that, you know, we came out and was aggressive, and we didn't lay down after, you know, going down 7-0 right off the bat. You know, it's really good. Like, again, I think that's an easy trap game for a team like us or Penn State going into it. You know, they could have an off game just with everything going on and all the circumstances. The away game out there, you know, it's you know, not a highly touted game in the national scene, the national media. You get worried about those type of games, but that's why it's awesome that they came out super aggressive. Offense looked great. Defense looked great. Just all around really good.
It was, by far, I think their best effort. And what's nice was it's back to back. It was a loss against Indiana, but that was a good effort. Again, as I said, there's no moral victories, but you saw something there. And I think the question was, and we asked it all week on our show, you know, was that their last shot against Indiana? And it's like, oh, well, that's it. Kudos to Terry and the staff. They kept the team together for this one.
They did. They did. Well, I mean, if you round Terry at all, you can see why, like, the team is playing like they are. Because he's able to rally these guys up. Terry's very transparent and very, like, genuine. I think that goes a long way, especially during – it goes a long way in coaching, right? Transparency in kids. They'll sniff you out if you have any BS to you, and that can crush your room, right? Terry, that's why he's had a ton of success in recruiting, a ton of success in that room, what he's built in that room. So it's really cool to see this.
All right, we'll pick up this conversation when we get back for quarter three. Stay tuned.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective serving 31 intercollegiate sports and over 800 student athletes at Penn State. I'm Jim Galante. With us is Executive Director at Happy Valley United, Mike Villagrana. It's quarter number three of our show. And, you know, Mike, we're talking a lot about Terry and his capabilities, what he has done in keeping this team together in a tough situation. I don't know how much you can comment on it, but I find it interesting. I get feedback from listeners all the time. All of a sudden, I'm now starting to hear comments like, hey, why not Terry Smith for the full-time job here?
Yeah, why not? I mean, especially as, like, the national media and people that want, like, a huge hire, like a splash name, right? Like, that sounds great, but as – like, this thing's evolving every day, and then you're seeing all the pool of candidates out there that, you know, the people outside may want, and they're signing all these extensions. Thank you, Cignetti, to that. You know, it's like, well, I think Penn State fans now are like, okay, all those splash names have signed extensions. All right, so what's the next, you know, pool of guys? And how can you not look at Terry and what he's done, especially, you know, and you know, it's the time will tell, but we'll have two more games and hopefully a bowl game. And, you know, this conversation, if it's just starting to heat up now, all right, wait for another week and, you know, another win versus Nebraska, right? Then it'll heat up some more, right? So and then you go into Rutgers. What if we rip off, you know, four straight wins and then win a bowl game? I mean, that's – probably got to really consider that person, whoever that person is. And, you know, fortunately it's Terry and he's doing a great job. I was saying before the break, we, you know, just being around Terry and that genuineness and like him just being who he is, you know, a Pittsburgh guy, a Penn Stater, everything about him, like that players want to play for him. That's why he's good in recruiting. That's why he has a great culture in his DB room. You know, So I'm not like surprised at all. Like, and when you see Terry and you run into him, like he's still himself. Like, I don't think this is like getting to him. I'm sure like he's mentioned it to the public about how like, yeah, he didn't realize like all the things that he has to like basically sign off on and all that stuff and that adjustment in the middle of a season. But like, he's handled it really well, and I'm not surprised at all. His son Justin King, who I worked with before, we've stayed good friends, and he ran into him in the building, and he's kind of like Terry, just has a really great attitude about it, a great perspective about it. So I'm just not surprised, and it's easy to see why the kids play really well for Terry, and that's always been a known thing, but it's really cool to see everybody else see it, because it's just not game day. You hear him at the press conferences. He's himself. You know what I mean? He doesn't seem nervous. He has really good insights. And I mean, just his whole story, his family. It's like, how can you not love Terry?
Well, and he bleeds blue and white.
Absolutely. Yeah. Pittsburgh guy. Yeah. He's a through and through Penn Stater.
Well, and the other part to that discussion too, Mike, is, and again, this is all part of college football today. When a coaching change happens, the loss of recruits, the loss of players through the portal, all of that happens. If you do hire internally, especially a guy like Terry, I suspect you're not going to be devastated in the portal like you would otherwise. Players that were part of the recruiting, now, some of them have already gone on, committed elsewhere, but you're keeping that same team together of coaches and staff, that whole infrastructure that may need to be rebuilt with a new coach. That's another one of those advantages that would come from retaining Terry.
Yeah, there's definitely an advantage to it. It's the whole portal and the adjustment this year the NCAA made to the calendar that throws a wrench in all of this, right? Like, so there's good, there's bad. Like, you can look at it either way, but yeah, I mean, if you kept Terry, that recruitment, which he's really good at, that would help with the stability from a recruiting standpoint. It's just tough. It's tough because we would have the portal, but I mean, but you're losing on some of these high school guys that we were going to want to get back in on once they know what the situation is here. That's obviously what's happening right now. They're just they're making sure that they're securing the spot, right? It'll be interesting to see when it comes to that. It sucks right now because we're just kind of going through it is what it is with the coaching change. You're going to lose some of that class. And these staffs, Coach Franklin, they fought their butt off to get that class, every single one of them in that class. It was an everyday thing. It was a battle to get them to commit. It sucks, to see that, because there's a lot to go into just getting them committed to Penn State, just because of how competitive recruiting at that level is. Once we, figure out the head coaching situation, whether it's Terry or somebody else, then you're going to see that uptick, and you're going to see that wave and that excitement moving forward. And then you'll see a bunch of guys jump back on board, and you'll probably see some new guys in the picture. You'll see, those guys, the portal. Obviously, this place is, if you're looking at it from a free agency standpoint, this is one of the places you want to play. If you're going to hit the free agency or the free agent market, this is one of the big schools. Like, in basketball, when everybody wants – they're going to be a free agent. They're like, are they going to go to LA? Are they going to go to New York? A big market, big team. That's like Penn State. Penn State is a big team. Like, that's one of the places you want to play. So it's going to be one of the top places if you're somebody in the portal and Penn State offers you.
And I think we talked a little bit earlier about the doom and gloom guys who everything is awful, and that's the other part of the conversation. Oh my goodness!
I like those guys too. I talk about them a lot because I'm fascinated by them more so anything. Like, I have friends like that. And I get a kick out of them.
Well, I don't know what it is psychologically, if it's just a case of that's their way of showing their expertise by saying, oh, everything they're doing is wrong. And, but I think what gets forgotten is, you know, Penn State is a big time program and going to be attractive to players both through the portal and through recruiting. And that gets forgotten. And, you know, we're going to see it again next week. The Nebraska game, it was announced it's going to be a night game, which I hope Terry comes out and asks for the whiteout attitude or whatever energy, I guess that's the way to put it, whiteout energy, because Anytime it's a night game and folks get the chance to wear white, it makes the place special and we get to see get another chance at seeing it.
Last home game too. You know, it's just nuts, right? how fast these seasons go, so fast. It sucks.
It does. Well, you know, some of these old guys like myself who have, you know, a long drive home, I was maybe a noon game, it would get me home without it being too late, and it turns out to be a night game, and I try, you know, my first, oh man, it's gonna be late. You know what? Hey, it's a night game at Penn State. It'll be fun. So I'm actually staying over Saturday night because of that. It'll be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Maybe we'll have to go get breakfast. Maybe we can do this over breakfast at right down the street.
Hey, why not? I didn't even think about that. I'm in town. Let's do the show together Sunday morning while I'm out there. It's always great to see you. And it's always great to go out for breakfast, too. Remember, too, now, with it being a night game, we got all day for tailgating. So this is a great opportunity for you to stop by our tailgate. Bring the family. We'll feed you well, I promise.
I will. I'm going to make it out there for sure. I just got to make sure I get everything settled, all my obligations, and then I'll be out there.
That's
hopefully
right.
Hopefully the weather is just as nice as last week.
Well, I was looking at long range weather. I think it's supposed to be, you know, it's November weather. So it's not going to be, you know, 75 degrees, but
yeah, right.
Yeah. I'm trying to find my weather app while we're doing the show. Here we go. State College next Saturday, 56 degrees, clouds breaking. It's a slight chance of a shower. No, 56 is good for late November.
This time last year was Maryland, right?
Yes.
This time last year, it was miserable, and I'm okay, and I'm okay saying that. I after living in Ohio, Northeast Ohio, Youngstown, Ohio, for 18 years, go to play West Virginia, and then I bounce around down south. I'm not tough anymore when it comes to cold weather. The older I get, the easier I get cold. Like, I get cold so fast. And gosh, that Maryland game last year, I can't believe how many people. I can't believe 105 people are in that stadium.
Well, how about SMU was the game in December that was really cold. That was the one that – and you think you're getting old at 40-something. What do you get to be 65, Mike, my age? I felt really bad. Like, I did the tailgating for the SMU game. When I got up to the press box, I started complaining because there was a draft on my feet, okay? That's how lame I've become at my age. So.
But here's where I'm jacked up, and because I'm a big shorts guy. I could wear shorts all year round, I could. And, you know, sometimes you'll see me, I'll look like, I'm corporate. But at heart, I'm a shorts guy. Even yesterday, I had my shorts on. But I also have my big puffy jacket that I could go to Antarctica with. Because as long as my uppers are good, I'm good. And as long my legs will be fine. But as long as my uppers, I'm warm, I'm good. But I got like kind of a bum look, I guess.
I'll tell you what, I like that. That's my attitude too, Mike. I want to wear shorts. I'll push it as long as I can as late into the season. Wearing shorts, yes, I'll have the sweatshirt on, the hoodie on, but still be wearing shorts. All right, Mike, tell you what, That's it for quarter number three. When we come back, I want to get back to the game because I want to talk about the defense. There was a lot to talk about with that. We'll do it when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. I'm Jim Galante, along with Mike Villagrana. It's quarter number four of our show. Mike, getting back to the actual game against Michigan State, we were talking earlier about the offense. I felt like Andy Kotelnicki did a good job in this game, and I'd been very critical of him. Defensively, and you could tell me better, but it just feels like these last two games, Indiana and Michigan State, it just feels like that defense is a lot more aggressive.
Yeah, everybody talks about, Jim Knowles' defense. It takes a year, it takes some adjustments. It's more of a complicated defense than most. So maybe that's what we're seeing, these guys getting comfortable in the roles, their assignments, and, maybe Coach Knowles, dumbed it down a little bit, basic, so those guys can kind of play a little bit loose, a little freer. I don't know what the case is, to be honest, but they look a lot more comfortable flying around, a lot more aggressive. You saw Deny be Deny yesterday. He's just continues to prove that he's a special person. And just like how I was talking in one of the first quarter or one of the earlier segments, I was saying, like, just in the building, it just seemed a little bit different when I was in there this past week. Just felt like, obviously not normal, but a little bit more normal than it's been in the past. And it just felt different when you were talking to the players. Deny was one of those guys when I ran into him. Deny is a different type of kid. Anybody who talked to you, he's different, like in a good way. He's just very focused. He's very black and white. But I don't know. You just seem I just ran into him. He just seemed like, yeah, just a different type of personality. He seemed like, I don't know, almost like something was like just lifted off of their shoulders. And that's what they kind of like. He just seemed different than I've seen him in a long time. And it's pretty cool to see him play like, loose, like a lot of those guys did on defense. And it was good. It was good. The linebacker core, I thought, did great. Defensive line. There's so many, you hear a lot of people talk about, but Coach Knowles does so many movements with that front and moves those guys around. And it's good to see that coming together now for Coach Knowles and that defense.
It really is. And as someone who was a big fan of Manny Diaz's defenses, because of how many types of blitzes and how often they were aggressive. So, I like that style of defense, and we saw so much of it. And what was nice to see is, and we saw it in the Indiana game. And again, Indiana had to make some spectacular plays, but there was so much pressure put on that quarterback late in the game against Indiana. What I liked is they didn't get gun shy. They didn't say, oh, gee, we got burned a couple times a week ago, so we're going to hold back. It looked like they were just as aggressive this week. Aggressive even to the point of, back-to-back roughing the quarterback calls. I did want to ask you about those two calls and what you thought of those.
I mean, with those calls, like, it depends who's calling it, who's reffing that game. I mean, obviously, you'll hear head coaches go on rants about this, but it's tough to coach those players up on defense. Like, it's based off of it, because you don't know what the definition really is, right? It's really subjective to whoever that ref is calling it. It depends ref to ref. So I don't know. you wish they would work on this in the offseason to have some more clarity on it. I'm not a big fan of the targeting calls, just because it's such a bang-bang play a lot of the times that, like, I don't know. It's just that whole thing needs to be looked at again and tweaked and go to all the different 1,000 committees there are and figure it out.
You know, in watching it live, I don't think either one of them was egregious. I think the call, you could call them legit calls, but late in the game, the penalty is so great on a roughing the quarterback call. To me, it should be obvious that when you see it, you know what? 10 out of 10 people would call it. Not, gee, there's shades of gray here. You know, 5 out of 10 people would call it. The other 5 won. If that's the case, don't call it then, would be my case. And it should be a sure thing. But, again, what's nice is after that, again, they didn't seem to hold back and say, uh-oh, we got to be careful. We can't keep doing this. They were still aggressive, and they turned, you know, they got the sack fumble.
Yeah, regardless of the refs and how they're going to call targeting and roughing the passer, those players aren't going to, like, let loose. So they're still going to come after him. And going back to the Indiana game, we probably didn't talk about it enough, but we got after the quarterback and we got a lot of sacks. We probably could have had a lot more, but freaking Mendoza was just, like, sneaky, was able to get out some of those sacks. Like, we were just, like, a shoelace away from getting him down a lot of the times. I think what you're seeing is you're just seeing this defense come together, and what a lot of that defense, what Coach Knowles does is being aggressive. So hopefully we'll see the defense still grow and develop. And, you know, if anything, they play like anything like they did last week or yesterday, we'll be good.
Well, and again, this is back-to-back weeks. A week ago, there were 3 sacks, 8 tackles for loss against Indiana. And as you said, you know, a split second, you got to give the Indiana quarterback credit getting the ball away and then his receivers making great plays. Against Michigan State, it was 5 sacks, 8 tackles for loss. That's what we expected to see from this team. It's great to see it. And, you know, schematically, are you just seeing, you know, Jim Knowles is sending more people more often, or do you think it's just really a case of the comfort level for the defense, getting used to a Jim Knowles defense?
Yeah, I would say the latter, just because now they're getting more repetitions, and like I was saying, they seem more comfortable, so they're understanding the defense and their assignment better, so they're able to execute these plays better. So they're finally, like, where we weren't getting to the ball, you know, that inch, that, you know, that that yard, they are now, because they're playing a little bit like looser.
Now, the one aspect of this game that was still a little bit rough, and I'm looking for my numbers here, Penn State was just 2 for 10 on third down conversions. And I went back and looked, and there weren't many third and longs. There were a lot, 3rd and 4, 3rd and 1, 3rd and 3, 3rd and 2, 3, 4 yards to go. Is there any common thread you could see in, say, in the play calling in those situations, or things they could do better on third down?
No, I mean, it's like they were able to produce and they had a productive day. So I guess you got to look at, all right, what can they do better? But if that's the case and we win, and they were able to run the ball like they were yesterday, setting up the pass, I'm good with it.
Hopefully that won't come back to bite them. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, Nebraska coming up this week. As you said, final home game, it came so quickly. And how important is it to players now? You know, seniors, there's going to probably be other guys who are leaving through the portal, don't know which ones they might be. But for a lot of guys, this will be their last chance to play at Beaver Stadium. And it's night. It's going to be under the lights. What does that mean to players coming out of the tunnel and realizing this might be the last time?
Yeah, it's super emotional. I think a lot of guys are going to be they're going to take a step back and think, man, this flew by, right? They were just a freshman, and now they're running out of the tunnel for the last time. I think any football player, senior night is very emotional. Leading up to that game, that whole week is usually pretty emotional. Each practice, this is my last home game. You're thinking about that. You think about, your parents are going to be on the field. It's a different vibe. A lot of times that home game, I remember the seniors, they would come up and you have all your meetings on Friday night. And, a lot of times those guys are allowed to talk for the last time. And, it's very emotional, very. Then leading up to, everything in that stadium when they get there, that's going to be the last time that they ride that blue bus coming in. And it's awesome. It's going to be a 7 o'clock game because you can probably guarantee it's going to be a great crowd, especially for the team arrival. And then going in, their pregame adjustments, that's going to be very emotional when they walk out for the first time for pregame. And, they're just going to take it all in. And then once the game starts, I think that they'll get over that. The game's going to be the game. But leading up, it's a very emotional week for these guys. And, it is for everybody, but especially for these guys, the Drew Allars and, the Nick Singletons and the guys that have been here and decided to come back. And then, to come in the number two team in the country and then, have what's happened, throughout this season. That just adds to all the emotion. So I can only imagine what's going through these guys' heads, let alone they got to go to school and do all this other stuff this week. But, I feel for these guys in a very positive way because it's a very emotional in a good way, right? These guys, blood, sweat, tears. With Coach Losi and that strength staff, the ups and downs that they've had, Drew Allar talking about how he didn't handle social media his first year starting well and going through the ups and downs and all the critics and making it to where he's at now. And just all of these guys, like everybody has their own story, their own road that led them from when they decided to come to Penn State to now they're running out of the tunnel for the last time is super emotional.
And I really hope, and I do think it will happen. The fans will really show up for this game. It helps everyone. I'm sure it helps the team. It helps the fan base that they're doing this coming off a win. I think everyone's confidence level will be up for this one.
And think about this, too. This is just the reality of college football. It's going to be a tough task to retain a lot of these players. So we don't know who we're going to see for the last time.
Exactly. But I think it's going to be a great atmosphere. All right, yes. That's going to have to be the final word. Thank you, Mike. Thank all of you. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.